Forgot to start the recording, so I'm going to start the recording here. So welcome to the Runtime Config DB or Data Persistency Configuration Persistency Service meeting for April 10, 2020. Today we are going over the TSC project proposal review that we went over yesterday at the TSC call. I don't know that everybody here was on that call. So let me just go over very quickly the, I'm not even going to go over all the data, I'll just show you the project proposal, which you can access off of our page. So basically went over the project description, the scope, the architecture integration, the basic concepts and principles and operational description of the project proposal, and went over the dependencies and things. So at the TSC yesterday, so it was it took about 45 minutes or so for the presentation. So originally they only slotted us a lot less time than that. So we got quite a number of comments back during the call, and Catherine had essentially said that we need to address some of the people's concerns before we represent. So I'm trying to sort of summarize the questions that people had, or some of the concerns that people had, and they type in the chat or ask verbally. These questions were all from the chat. There were a couple questions that were asked verbally. I think Eric DeBeau also asked at the end a question about the, he was asking, actually I wrote it down in the 5G page, which I'll get real quick here. We also talked about this briefly, Joanne and I, with them all on yesterday's 5G call. And there were a few things I should probably just cut and paste from there. Gonna just scroll down here and go, okay. So these were some of the other questions. So I think we should, as a team, just sort of discuss all of these and see where we are here. Probably make a slide for ones, you know, that some of the bigger questions. So one question is from Sashu, and Yuri's on the call too. I think he may be more familiar with this, but so essentially Sashu asked, he called it a runtime catalog, I think. Can the runtime catalog be used as the config and persistency service? Or why can't we use that, basically, is kind of what his question is. So Yuri, do you have some insight into this other, I think it's in CCSDK, is it?
The runtime catalog doesn't exist. It was an idea that we wanted to implement, but it never was implemented.
I see. He made it sound.
Yeah, go ahead.
He made it sound like it already exists already.
No, we don't have. There was a notion that AT&T was proposing to have like a runtime catalog. Today, you know how we have different, each system is ingesting the Tosca and creating a view of that Tosca for, let's say, orchestration or service assurance or controllers, right? The whole idea of runtime catalog was to, instead of having all these different systems having their own local database, why don't we have a common database that has the, you know, a task ingestion, so these applications don't need to have their own local database for managing the task ingestion itself. It'll just be one database for all.
So to you rent the ideal, let's say ideal is they say the runtime catalog already passing the data already, right? You're passing the task model, right?
It's passing the CSER, which has different artifacts, which can include, you know, your topology Tosca, right? It can include your Yang models. It can include other, you know, DCE artifacts and so on and so on.
Okay.
Okay, so instead of, because right now what happens is once that Caesar is passed, different components extract different part of it, part of the Caesar, and create a view in their local database, right? Or in their database. And, you know, the idea was behind saying instead of having this customized database across these different apps, why don't we create one global database so that everyone can access it? And that was the idea of runtime catalog. And I think from AT&T side, it was probably Vimal and Fari that were leading this effort.
Okay.
But it would never, my understanding, nobody has implemented this. It was never above the line to implement.
Okay.
I don't think there's even seed code. Any company has seed code for this. So, and it's a big impact, right? So if you are going to make this change, then you have to change all your components to use this runtime catalog. It's not like a small change for at least existing use cases, right?
Yeah.
If you have greenfield use cases, like, you know, maybe CNFs, and you're saying, oh, for CNFs, we want to go with this mechanism, then it's much smaller. But then you'll have to manage two different implementations, which is also bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Sushir's point is interesting. I mean, there's been talk of essentially something similar to the data persistency service in that the concept, even though it doesn't exist yet, is to kind of store some data that would be used by lots of different systems and to sort of group it together, which is similar in some ways to what we're doing too, right?
No, but Ben, you have to make sure what we do is totally different. What we do, right, this is, you have to keep in mind this next presentation. What we do, configure DB, it's reflecting to the network. Like I say, you come now here, reflect an element in the real time. We have to emphasize, no one can, this is a network information. Catalog, it's just one time, you know, we come from the online, you know, package. We are configured to constantly sync up with the network or the network element, you know, here, Ericsson, you know, or other one. That's the one we talk about. So, you know, feeding in information. So our info database is a real time reflect to the network element through the NetCon Yen model. That's the one we have. So that's why when you have the enough to notice, we have the so-called voice notification, which is the constant if change, we will update this database. So very quick update, this is sync up network in the real time.
Yeah, Ben, I think what Juan, maybe you have to correct the last line, Ben, right? The main focus for our runtime or the RCDB is to store real-time network information, right?
Right, that's the key. No one can replace in the real time. That right now, yesterday, they're talking about it's not a real time. So you mentioned in your, I think your summary, you must put, you now say you need to put a you know, real time in your summary. I just realized you didn't real time.
Okay.
That's the key. No one can replace this.
So Swami, you're maybe a step off. We were arguing for 3 or 4 weeks, and we've come to at least a temporary working name is the configuration.
Ah, okay. I realized that. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Real time new platform. Okay. So Joanne, I'll add the word real time.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you. Okay, so that Joanne makes a good point. I mean, I think the focus of what we're doing is storing something kind of different than what I apologize. Somebody is, I am in
one second. Yeah, maybe one question for me to Yuri. Yuri, well, the earlier work that was that Seshu was referring to, right, Yuri? So did that also take into consideration like the templates also being available for any components to fetch, Yuri? Because, for example, when SDC distributes the templates, right, not all components kind of fetches all the CSRs and then stores it in their local database. Was this also considered within that scope, Yuri?
Right, no, it was, because when you are creating this global data store, you have to address the needs of all the components, not just, you know, subset of the components, right? So it's a global view of the CSR, and it's a full view of the CSR. It's not like a subset view.
Okay. So maybe the thing is, do we want to limit some of the scope of what we're potentially storing in this thing? So Yuri, like, I don't know that we're kind of presenting it as this will store everything, you know, and people are saying this is one monster database joining all the databases.
If you want success, start with the controller, because the intent is for the controller for this, right? Because otherwise, this is...
Well, and also use case.
Use case, I understand. But don't do AI, don't do SO, don't do DCU. You have to remove all of those, because that will bring tremendous impact.
ANEI is mostly not ANEI's work, but the runtime DB listening to ANEI's updates, right? And DCAE, I mean, that's the fundamental way that configuration information comes up.
So I think
my question is, my initial understanding was that runtime DB component was for the network sync up before the controller. It's not for doing provisioning activities, not for service assurance. Has that changed?
Let me see. I think the picture and Ben need a change. The DC in here, analytical skill. It's only West
Coast. Whoa. The analytics, this is just what DCA does. This is just the name of, this is just the name of it, right? So this is data analytics, data collection. I didn't have room to type in the whole thing.
That's what people say. People are like, we are thinking DC do analysis. You say DC, everybody knows DCAE. You don't need to put a full name in.
Okay.
Because DCAE has its own data store, I believe, as well. So
it does, yes.
The question would be, are you proposing to change it? If you are, then it, you know.
No.
Then no. You'll have bigger pushback, you know, even with. So that's why I'm saying that you want to limit your scope, because I thought the original scope was just for controllers, right? For the use case that...
I think we're not asking everybody to delete their own databases. I think we're asking people to store information that comes up that doesn't fit in any other database. So configuration information that comes from a PNF, that shouldn't be stored in DCAE inventory. That shouldn't be stored in the CSO database. That shouldn't be stored in a controller database. That shouldn't be stored anywhere except in this runtime database, right? So.
Okay, and do you think there is something that's stored in DCAE and SO that's deal with the controller information or configuration information? It shouldn't be. It should be only in the controller.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying that you may want to limit this just to the controller itself.
But the information, I see what you're saying, but the information that comes from a PNF, that's configuration information, should be stored in this database, right?
So let me explain to you, say the picture you have a little bit confused. You need a five simple one, because you put so many databases in here, people do think a lot of that. It's not your intention. You want to. People think, oh, what to have for so many database?
Wait. So the slide allows a speaker to say things, right? And the reason why I have a lot of these databases, it shows that data is being stored in other places. That there are many other databases in the system, and in particular, a couple of those databases, like for example, things that use cases are using right now. This is probably the most important database, right? So, and that's a good point, Joanne. Maybe I should just color that one differently. Hold on.
Because just people's perception. But you won't pass this project, right? A lot of people do not even know this project about. It's based on your presentation. They look at your picture.
But it's also based on what you say, not just the slides, right? So yeah. I think what you need to say is that there's lots of databases in this. You have to describe the picture, right? I mean, you can't take the picture without the words. So I think the main point is that right now, there are things such as use cases that don't have a proper place to store stuff. And this is the real problem that we're trying to address. To Yuri's point, I mean, we're not trying to say, you know, now all the DCA stuff should be stored in here. Now all of these databases go away. And I think it's important to verbally say, we're not trying to replace all these databases, right? Which I think people got that impression yesterday that there's a thought that all these other databases will go away, which is not our goal, right? Mm-hmm. So. But just from what Yuri just said just now, I think that needs to be made very clear that that's not the objective of the project, right?
Also, Ben, I think it might also be helpful if we can give some examples of the data that is stored, Ben. Then probably people can maybe have it a little more clear in their minds as to what kind of data you are talking about, Ben. Probably it's clear to us because we have been working on this RAN use case or the SON use cases.
Mm, that's a good point.
Not the case for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
let me address one point before you jump to another. So I do have. This. Do you want me to sort of mention this or use this as an example? These are things that are currently stored, I would expect.
We can say that these are stored and what you want to extend, Ben. That is some illustration. I mean, it's not going to be an exhaustive list.
Yeah.
But going forward, maybe when we align with ORAN, maybe some of the basic cell configuration also you might want to store. So some examples if we give, then maybe people can easily comment, good or bad or whatever, instead of giving some generic comments, right?
That's a very, very good point. Okay, I like that. Okay, Joanne, you were about to say something.
Yeah, I have the same concern. In order to get this project rolling, right? I say it many times, but you get your rejection from you and the other people, the Tony. In order to get this ball rolling, let's say the idea, right? We need to focus on the scope. Just say we need only do configuration, like security. Other functionality you in the web page, you put a lot of functionality. People, it's huge, you see, it's so big. Why did you do the whole things? You don't have the capability. How many the project is exhaust is huge, much more than any other component. So even the internal AT&T has a huge the rejection right now for this. So I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so the slide to address that question is, you know, what's delivered when and the scope. It's a good point. And I think from that, what we need to do.
It's really huge right now to write a turbulence that this
we
whole
need
thing,
to,
right? I didn't expect this much.
We need to describe what's coming and what release, right? So the reason why the scope of the reason why the project proposal is as it is the project proposal, and I've said this at least 20 times, it's not meant to be for one release, it's meant to be for all time. It's not meant to, let's write this piece in R6 and then extend it for R7 and then R8, R9, R10. They don't do that in project proposals. But I get your point. Hold on, let me finish.
Lisa, I have to go.
The answer to your point though is, and it's a good point, is I think we should describe for people, you know, in R7, what are we doing? You know, what are we developing, right? And I think maybe other people have that same view, is they think all of this is coming all at once, which it's not, right? So in R8 and R9, you know, what in future things, what are we doing, right? So I think other people also have that same view. It's a good point that we're not trying to do all of the everything all at once, you know, and if there's something in the end we want this project not to do ever, forever, then we should remove it, right? This is just describing a vision of, you know, if you look at other project proposals, they didn't break it down by release. They have the whole vision of their entire project, you know, all at once. So what we should do.
You can look at the NAI, that's fine. I have to go because I hold other meeting people. Okay. So you just one point, because right now the turbulence in the 18 is huge. Before it wasn't like this. Just right now, look at people deep into the proposal. Any word you put into the people with the question. So now you to me, Ben, you to entire TSC right now. And every word we have to be careful.
Okay, right, Joanne, then what you should do is point them to what are we doing in R7. Okay, so that is here in the R7 proposal. We've made a presentation. This is what we're doing. We're limiting ourselves to just a particular piece of this, right? We're just, in this case, just starting just setting off the project proposal, right? So point them to, here's what we're doing in R7. If you wanna know what our whole vision is for R20, from here to R20, you point them to this page. You just have to know how to talk to the right, whoever's asking you to.
I have to go back. We few people try. It's not just you, like you explain to TIC, cannot explain all things, right? We try to define this. We all try to get this project in place, in rolling. We needed to somehow, you know, this thing need to work out. So we need to say the right now configuration, we need to get in place, right? See, you can either R7, we need a definite scope. What do we do? Now, two things, right? We can support some use case, we support manual slicing, can be done R7. Clearly, on the scope.
Exactly.
I think R8 and what? R9. You can do roadmap, that's fine. Otherwise, you know,
you should learn that also, you know, when you talk to people, if they're asking about a particular release like R7, what are we doing now, point them to what we're the proposal of what we're doing right now. If you want them to point to all of time, you should point them to our project proposal, and I'll leave you with that. Okay, thanks.
They didn't even ask me. And they are, we have an internal big TSC discussion too, like Catherine talked to you too. How to Vimal? There's nothing to point. But
well, okay, Vimal. I've talked to Vimal also, and he understands.
Yeah, you talk to Vimal.
If somebody is confused, point them to me. I'll talk to them. Okay, is that good enough? I'll unconfuse them. Is that good?
It's right now to say, how can we, you do what?
Just point them to me, I'll unconfuse them. How's that? If people are confused and they don't know what's going on, don't make up answers. We have an answer to these things. The answer isn't to destroy our project proposal, which is to describe the vision over time of what our project is. The answer is to describe, this is what we're doing in R7. We have a page to describe, this is what we're doing in R7. If you don't know how to do that, point them to me and I'll describe that for them.
I didn't say, when you did the TSC meeting that people asked a question, ask Vimal, Vimal pass on to me.
Okay, but they didn't ask that question. They didn't say.
You better talk to Vimal, Vimal pass on to me.
Okay, I will talk to Vimal.
That's what I'm trying to say. After TSC call, right?
I talked to Vimal directly. You and I both talked to Vimal less than 24 hours ago. Less than 24 hours ago, we had a 30 minute discussion with Vimal. And he gave feedback right here. Like, what more do you want? He understands what's going on. In fact, he's behind our use case. He's behind our use case. He didn't say anything negative about our use case in our 30 minute discussion with him yesterday. Less than 24 hours ago, I talked to him verbally. Do you want to have a meeting with him this afternoon? I'm happy to meet you.
You can talk to him directly. That's fine. I wouldn't get involved. This. You can talk. I can.
I'll talk to him directly. Okay.
All right. Okay. Bye. I have to go.
Yeah. Bye. So I personally think Joanne would like to pare this down to one word, saying we're just storing configuration, which is unreasonable. So I'm not gonna do that. A project proposal describes the project over time, right? So that, I don't know why she can't understand that.
Maybe one suggestion here, Ben, I'm not sure whether it's a good idea. Maybe at the top of the page, you can have a link to the work done in Frankfurt. You can point a link at the top, very top of the page.
Well, that's what this is for. At the end, there's use cases that are in R5, R6, and what we're planning to do in R7, right? So there is a place, there is a section where you can describe what's the first applications, what's happening in R6, in R7, the OFSAN PCI use case.
And also the network slicing. Yeah.
Use cases will be using the configuration. And Joanne just doesn't get what a project proposal is. It's not meant to just describe one release. I've had that discussion with her like 20 times. I don't know why she can't get it. It doesn't make sense. How many times do we have to say this to each other? So at the end, you can describe in R5, these were things that were used. In R6, this is how it was used. In R7, this is how it's used. And you know, she wants a focus on R7. Okay, you know, if people don't get it, we can describe this is what we're doing in R7. It'll be used in the SAN use case and in the end-to-end network slicing use case to store configuration data. And I think people see the scope is big, right? I mean, the overall long-term scope is to do a lot of things. We can describe these things will come later.
Yeah. Probably like one thing maybe is like it's there. They feel it's too, how should I say, too voluminous. So that's why the at least the perceived risks are too many, Ben.
Okay, so I think I don't know which, what functions of these will be used early on. We have syncing, data recovery, update, restoration history. These are a lot of database functions that hopefully we get from the basic database management of something, right? So.
Right.
If we look at the database technologies here, what are the things that we're likely to use with this, right? I mean, there's MariaDB, Cassandra, Postgres, JanusGraph. These are all database technologies used in ONAP. So what is this database going to be built upon? Probably MariaDB, I would think. I don't know if there's another thought on that. But in any case, for some of these things like I don't know, rollback or access control. I don't expect any ONAP developer to develop that. That's just going to come with whatever database technology we use, or we're not using the right technology, right? You know, these are really fundamental things that databases do, right? So, but we should say, when we try to integrate some of this function into the data that we have, then we need to choose what we might want to do, right? So we know in R7, all we're doing is just storing some simple configuration data. That's all we're trying to do, I think. Mm-hmm. But I get John's point is, I think, you know, as you said, people are looking at this thinking we're doing everything all at once, which I don't think, that's certainly not the case, right? And that needs to be made clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also maybe that also might kind of maybe address some of the concerns that they don't have to sign up for everything that is listed on this proposal at present itself, then, right? I mean, certain things we will know whether it's a good choice or a bad choice only as it evolves, right? I mean, if what is the purpose? You define a very nice database, but nobody is using it, right? Then all that effort is going to go to waste. So, but as people start using it, you might want to make changes, you might want to update the architecture, and then maybe people can also look at, is this the best way of going forward, or do we need some basic changes and so on. So what I'm saying is, people don't have to give a go or no go to everything that you have listed on the project proposal today itself. As long as certain principles are agreed upon, I think that should be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think some of the far future things are maybe data auditing, topology traversal. We have to be able to control who has access to the database.
Right, yeah.
And to update the database. Functions of rollback and syncing are, I think, more advanced functions. So, I mean, in some of the more basic functions are, if I've lost some data, to be able to recover it. And model adaptations are, to some degree, what we're doing here with the ability to use different schema elements. Dynamic schemas, basically.
And one other thing I saw, Ben, was about the point when it becomes gross in size and it's centralized. I think there was one concern about the latency and getting locked and so on, Ben. So maybe that is also something we need to think about. For example, are we looking at it as it evolves and grows, right? Are we looking at it as like a cluster of databases or something that enables you to kind of scale and have some parallelism?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. For scaling, yeah. Makes sense. blue, green. Okay, so what's the next most important question I think that got asked? The roadmap of functionality we just addressed, scalability.
Problem of synchronization and those things are not going to be, I don't know when. They are saying how will it be like if you are having one central thing versus distributed one. It goes against the microservices architecture principles. No, I think that was coming, one comment that was coming as well.
Yes.
I was thinking maybe if we look at it like not one huge database, no, Ben, maybe this question will be kind of self-answered. Like if we are looking at it as like a set of databases, maybe, okay, I'm saying a set of databases, but maybe like tables or whatever, right? And then it might be somewhat okay, Ben. Because these are data which are kind of needed across microservices. Now, if you go to the microservices principles, the idea is that it should have as much self-containment as possible, maybe for independent scaling and that loose coupling that you're pointing out, no, those kind of things, Ben. But there are certain things which have to be shared across microservices. Now, config data is one example which has to be shared across microservices. However, in order to, kind of also segregate that and not have one big database which contains all the configuration information, we can look at a kind of a organized kind of collection of data. Okay. So in a sense, what we are saying is we are going in a little bit hybrid kind of a scenario, not too centralized and not too distributed.
So my answer when somebody asked something similar on the call was that I said, I pointed them to a slide that I said the owner of the data,
Right, Ben. I think that is also a valid point. You will have one owner. Yeah, you'll have only one owner, one unique owner who will update the data. That's also a valid point. Yeah.
I mean, the database is just, the database just stores the data. It doesn't own the data. So in a sense, each microservice is, if you look in that website, it basically says it's your choice of how you want to store your data. The choice here is simply that you have your own database that you store it in, and it just happens to be this place, this repository. It's not meant to be a controlling repository that controls your data. You still own your data. But I like your answer too, and we should mention that this strikes a balance. This strikes a balance between centralized and distributed. In fact, I think I like your answer so much, I think we should draw a picture for it. So for example, maybe we have, is there an example we can use in the OFSON PCI use case? Or another example I can think of is escalation.
You can
look at the correlation. Is an example.
You can use the same example when, like, for example, now in the OF SON use case, we have OF accessing the config data as well as SON handler accessing the config data, while SDNR is the one who is updating the config data. So it doesn't make sense to have replicas, then you enter into that problem of synchronization and a lot of other challenges, right? Concurrency and all those things.
Does only the SDNC update the data?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll call it there. Thank you everybody for your input. I will touch base with Vimal and Joanne this afternoon. Okay, thank you everybody. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.